of a Hilchos Tefillin. Just one thing about the Etzem Kashrus Tefillin, that's what we spoke about it, that you have to be careful in terms of, especially how often is it good to check your Tefillin to make sure that kosher. So it's like this. If you never got your Tefillin checked, it's good to get them checked. There's Meis and Muncy, like somebody once came into like Tuvia's, he's a Moicher Tefillin, he's selling Tefillin, came in, he's like giving a very good price. So the guy was like a little suspicious, like why Tefillin's so cheap? So he got somebody to open it up. And by the parashas, there were bazooka gum jokes. I don't know if they still have them anyway. Yeah. They still have them? I don't know. Did they still have jokes? Okay. What?
Did you get number 100?
I'm not so... it's not one of the things... Not one of my expertise, bazooka gum jokes, but... Akoponim, you just have to be careful. Especially if they're cheap, you have to be careful. But just in general, tefillin is, you know, it's a complicated, they say stam. You have to make sure when you're buying stam, you get it from somebody very reliable. And if you don't know where you got it from, it's really kedai to get it checked. A friend of mine who is a Rebbe in one of a similar type of yeshiva to this, which some of you have come from the yeshiva to here. No, some of you have come from the yeshiva to here. And he made the check the tefillin, and he said like over 50% of the people's tefillin were not. I'm not gonna say the exact lashon exactly, but what to be desired, and most of them end up buying tefillin. Actually, when I learned tefillin the first time, so it's going back a couple of years ago, and like there's one issue with tefillin is that it's not mohuder if there's glue in between the batim. It's supposed to be four separate but things, so the more mohuder. But I have no glue, and the less other ones have glue, it's really expertise. So I went to get mine checked just to see. They have a place next to the mirror. There's a guy Gittman. He's like a famous batemacher, and this is one of his things. This is pet peeves. So I guess he'll check it for you, but he has a tenai that if it's no good, you're not allowed to buy tefillin from him because it doesn't have any negias, any anything. He's just doing it as a public service. So I went down the block to get a check by him. Like he took like a credit card, like put it through, and like he's like, no way, you know. There was tons of glue in it, and therefore I went to get, went on to buy new batten.
How much? He only checks if there's glue.
He'll check it. No, you're not allowed to buy from him.
Why?
Because he's just doing this as. No, thank you, Sylvia. I'm just doing it. That's all.
How much are batten?
What do you say?
How much are batten?
That's a very broad question. It's like saying, how much does a shirt cost? They're very different levels and all sorts. You know, the range is from, it's a very big range. But, so I'm saying it's kedai really to make sure.
You can just slide a credit card through it?
No, that's one thing. But a lot of issues you have to make sure, this shin was done properly. And in the parashas itself, you want to make sure that the parashas were written well, written by the Dura. So if you never got them checked by, let's say, a good, reliable safer.
If you did, when's the next time you should check?
So if you did get them checked, it's not good that you get checked too often. Because when you open up the batim, so you're putting mileage on them in terms of, therefore, the repo. And therefore, if you got them checked, if they're a reliable, good, reliable safer, then I would say not to check them too often. Unless it's some type of reis sum. So what's considered a race that they have to check the parashas? If the tefillin got wet, for example, what? Sun, if it's in the really hot heat, like you keep it in the trunk of a car when you're going on vacation, so that could get really, it could get really, really hot. Blowing hot, like you could touch it, you could burn yourself. It happened to my kid last year. Left it for a couple hours. I could touch it. There's so much. Mama's yatsa led this buddy. And if it gets like really, really hot, it could get like very moisturizing, and it's kedai to check it because it could be, if it gets wet inside, so then it could ruin it could smudge the ksav and it could ruin it. If you take a shower before davening all the time and you put on wet hair, it also could ruin it. But come on, I'm saying it's kedai to make sure to get it checked at some point. No, if it's good, you bring a good, reliable safer, and it's a Sral, and somebody who knows all the Hidurim, and they say it's good, so then you don't have to check it unless you have a race. So a race is if it gets wet. If it gets wet, if it gets very moisturizing, if you bang, if you're diving with, if you're diving with kavanah and like you bang with the shtender and you chip off the tip, you also have to check it. But if it falls or something like that, but if there's no reisa, then enchanami, it's good. But I'm saying it's kedai
ever checking the bottom?
I don't know, both the bottom. Look, the bottom I can just look at. Just bring it to my look and tell you whether it looks the outside of the bottom. I can tell you whether it looks not talking about the gold, but just whether the ribuya has to be squared, right? If it gets chips in the corner, that also could puzzle it. So, okay, if you guys want, you can bring anything to me. I can just look at that through on the bottom. But kids just gonna have to get checked at some point. So tefillin is supposed to be black. Is halacha much of seeing that it's gonna be black? How OCD do you have to be in terms of black? So some shoes is old. You have to be really black. You have to be OCD. No, no one knows you have to be OCD. But Rosh Hashanah said, if a normal person would say this is black, then that's enough. You don't have to sit there with a magnifying glass and, oh, I found a little point which is not black. If a normal person called it black, that's enough for it to be considered black, and then therefore it's okay. It was never checked, then you should get it checked.
Someone told me once that once you open it once, then like the vacuum seal or whatever is missing. No?
This is not, what, for bugs?
No, it's like paddled very well the first time.
It's a good thing. If you didn't get it, it's a good thing probably to get it checked once by a mother to get a safe
for him. And
he checked it, and he's my guide, then you're okay. But what do you call a reliable person? When I mean to say reliable person, it means it has to be a monk in Stam. There are a lot of well-meaning individuals who are selling Stam who lav dafka, they know all the halachas, it is a little bit complicated. Ray Bramman bought a Sefer Torah, he started buying from somebody, and then he checked it with somebody, and he found out, like, and he had to switch it, right? And he bought it from somebody who has a very good reputation. And whatever. So it just, not everyone, it's the laws, the halachas are very, very complicated, not so many people bucky in it. And even somebody who's a Yerush Shemayim, he might not just push a no. You have to check by, it's somebody who's an expert.
I was understanding that one's cool. Any dot on the bottom?
If it looks black, a normal person would call it black. That's called black. You don't have to sit there. Like this hat. This hat is black. We can find a lot of spots, you know, areas, which maybe you can start saying, maybe not. Okay, I'm not sure about this hat, but it's a little bit old. But your tzuris are lachem mishmi sinai. How far you have to have a lachem mishmi sinai? Whether it has to be all the way down, or the mishmi has a suffix. But ma'aser machmir, all the way down has to be black. Yes, all the words of the have to be black. No, we mishmi was a suffix and certain lachem mishmi sinai. They have to be machmir. The whole thing is okay. I wasn't like talking about tzuris. Once we're talking about the tzuris. But the gea, people want to know about the gea, the black and black tzuris. Is that the way to go or not? So. There is a sheet, this is a Rambam, which says that Ritzus al Chomish Sinai means both sides have to be black. All the way around should be black. Roy Rishonim hold not like that, and the Iker Halacha is not that both sides have to be black. So when they came into black and black Ritzus, they went to the relationship, and they showed it to him, and he said, this is something with all the Darius and Klaus, so no one was Machmer for. Therefore, why are we starting new things? And therefore, he says, you should not be Machmer to get black and black Ritzus. Then they came back to him and told him that no. They're not being machmer for shittas Rambam. What they're doing is just if you have black and black, you don't have to sit there worrying about whether your ritzur is always black, because it's black and black all the way through. And even if a little bit peels off, it's still black, and then you're good to go. So he said, if that's the cheshbon, then it is okay to have black and black ritzur. So would I recommend it? I would say probably yes, because if you don't have black and black ritzuris, probably every year and a half, 2 years, you have to get a new ritzuris. They do peel off, and it is annoying to sit there constantly having to check it and paint it, and once it peels off, you paint it, the paint peels off. Therefore, probably it's good to get black and black ritzuris. It saves a little bit of a headache. It's up to 50 shakal, it's not a big deal. And out of that, it's probably good to do it. But you should check your ritzuris tomorrow to make sure they're black all the way down, because it's a lochem mishmi mis sinai. It's sad that it's ma'akiv, and you should just look over your tzuris to make sure that they're black all the way down. And if you think before you're tefillin your bar mitzvah, you haven't checked it since then, there are probably a lot of areas which are not going to be black anymore.
Is there any mark? Can you just use a permanent marker to
colored.
No, this certainly, but Tzeva has to be. Has to be lishma. Has to be motiv v'picha.
Has to be how it's made.
It has to be motiv v'picha. Has to be from. It has to be lishma. There are a lot of halachas in the Tefillin, and they sell for Tzeva to Dan Shakos.
They look like regular.
No, not a perm market. No, it has to be whatever. Fine. It turns into the Makim HaTefillin. So the Makim HaTefillin will start with the Shalai. I think they almost started Chav Zayin. Did they almost start Simcha Chav Zayin? Did they almost start Simcha Chav Zayin yet? What's some of them doing? Or are they almost not? What? Right, but which part of HaTefillin are you doing? You're in Simcha. You're still in Chav A?
Putting on the Tefillin.
What?
Putting on the
You didn't do the Makim HaTefillin yet. Okay, we'll do something else. So, but again, that's a putting on the tefillin. So, there's not like nationalism. How many brachas do you make? Do you make a bracha, two brachas, or do you make one bracha? I don't think we have any svadim here tonight, so we'll focus more. Okay? We'll focus more on Ashkenazim. How many Ashkenazim do you make two brachas? Now, in between the two brachas, you're not allowed to be mafsik with anything in between the two brachas. Between the Shayyad and Sharois, you can make a hefsek. Therefore, if a little bit late to davening and they say Baruch Hu, or you're really late, it's Kedusha, or it's Kaddish, Meneish Me'rabba, all these things you are not mafsek to answer during between the Shayyad and Sharois, because hefsek and the brachas. Not only is there a problem with hefsek between the brachas, there's also an Indian that the stam. Kshat moiz adach with this bainach, you're not allowed to be masik between. Even on chalomoyed, where you're not making a bracha, I mean, sorry. If you are not yekesh, you are not making a bracha on your tefillin on chalomoyed, if you are yekesh. Because if you're not making a bracha on your tefillin on chalomoyed, and you're putting on, still you're not supposed to be masik between, you're not supposed to be masik between the shayad and the shalreish. If a person was mafsik in between Shayyad and Sharaish, then it messes up the bracha of the Shayyad, and you have to make a bracha again. So if you talk to Antimei Shmei Rabba, or something else happened, you'd have to go ahead and make another bracha. Preferably what you should do is just move the Shayyad out of place, and then put it back on, and make a bracha on the Shayyad again. Now Mishmur says, this halacha being mafsik is not what the places we'll get to next week. It's not just in terms of talking who had been other day, just some Rebbe from a certain yeshiva came to me about 25 minutes ago, and he told me that they're going away for Shabbos to a certain area, and the Bachrim, they hum like a whole niggin in between when they wash their hands on this diamond on Maitzi. So wants to know, is that okay or is that not okay? It's like, so they have sick between the Tisidayim and that's some brach. And the halach is benigeya all dinim when you have, you're not supposed to be mafsik. So we'll go make, but at them even waiting, you're not supposed to be mafsik. Can you just wash and wait? Or can you put in a tefillin shayad and then be mispoinin in the kalis of the bria and just wait a couple of minutes and then put on the tefillin shayresh? So even waiting between, you're not supposed to be wait. And Kolshkin Mishabur says, to be mafsik with a signal, like, you know, if you're late and the guy's like, just want this, or something, even the mafsik in the signal, that's also considered a hafsik. Well,
let's get into the kitchen, salt.
So salt is, if there's a tzairach and in the bracha, you need salt. So that in the bracha, then it's not considered hafsik. But when you deal with tefillin, shayad, tefillin shayresh, therefore anything, you know, like if you watch that, therefore humming a song, you're not allowed to hum a song in between. That's a form of hafsik. Like nu, sha, all these things are considered hafsikin. But so you do not have to make a new bracha unless you said a word which has a connotation. Nu, sha, no. But definitely those things are things which would, yes, be. The Ben Ishchai says, if I remember correctly, that you couldn't even look at your watch in between. Like, not to be mafsik at all. Sounds intense, huh? But I'll go bottom in between the shayad and shayresh, a person not supposed to be mafsik, and we say before it, not just telling the bracha, it's even without the bracha. So you're not supposed to be humming, right? You're
sitting there anyway.
So you could take a safer and learn by her. I'm sorry. So do nothing. Huh? learning Behera, if you're not saying the words, yeah, that's okay. Because it's brought down the Kaisis. Like, believe me, it's like about it.
Why
is
that
not
like humming?
What do you say?
Why is that not like humming?
It's different than humming. You're not talking. You're not whatever. Fine. Al-Kapan. If somebody puts on the tefillin afterwards, goes to the bathroom. So the question is, do you have to go ahead and make a new bracha? So the das of the Mishnah Berurah is that when you take off your tefillin, you go into a place where you're not able to put on the tefillin. If you're putting tefillin in the bathroom, you'd have to go ahead and make a new bracha. So if you take off your tefillin and the person goes to the bathroom, the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is on both of them. That's the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, that you'd have to make a bracha being in the shayad and being on the shorah. The urinal does smell, a lot of them, and yeah, I would think yes, also in a urinal. It's a muck in which you can't be putting on tefillin. So being that it's a muck in which you can't be putting on tefillin, so therefore you'd have to go ahead and make a bracha. Or Mishnah Berurah writes, if a person passes a gas and you now have tefillin, if you move them off to the side in this area, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, it's also lafiyah put tefillin. So if a person has time to take it off, you take it off. But his mom is like, you know, so you're just supposed to move it to the side, like in a place where, yeah, you move it out of place. Both of them, you're supposed to move them both out of place. So then when you put them back in place, being that you were matziv, that you weren't able to make a matziv, you weren't able to do it, so therefore you have to go ahead. Now in terms of the... Accidentally what? So quickly move it out of place. Because that's...
If you accidentally pass gas, you should make a new bracha.
Move it out of place, and now
it's like,
yeah, you should move it out of place. It was that Mishnah Berurah, it was in Chafei.
Well, it's too late to move out of place now. You already, yeah. The gas is already passed.
The Mechaber brings down in Sifri Gimel Nogim Oilam Lechis Tefillin Ad Acher. Okay, it was a Zman Tefillin. What's the earliest time you can put on Tefillin? When is the latest time you can put on Tefillin? So, we pass in light a lot of Zman Tefillin. We don't put Tefillin on at night. Why? We put Tefillin at night because you can go to sleep. And when a person sleeps, they pass us in the past gas, they can now put Tefillin on night. When's the earliest time in the morning you can go ahead and put on Tefillin? So, the Zman is Misha Yaker. At the point of Misha Yaker, that's the earliest time you can put on Tefillin. How early is that? When's Misha Yaker? It's not different shita. Some say it's like 40 minutes before Nates, some say between 52 minutes before Nates, and it's very negay if person's flying, or the negay balabatim all the time. That they dive in an early minyan and they're going to work, and they have to put the tefillin on very, very early. And that's, you cannot make a at night you're not upon tefillin, and that's, you can make a bracha on tefillin until Mishiach, which is either 40 or 52 minutes before Nates, that's his man when you're able to put on tefillin. The minig is going to take off tefillin today after Kedusha of Balatzion. Yeah, after Kedusha of Balatzion. The Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. Yesh mizakat tzalaka balashlik 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 that some say that you shouldn't take it off till after Kaddish Yosem. Vachi noigin amedakim. That's the negative back again. That Mishnah Berurah brings down the batsim, you shouldn't take it off till after Kaddish Yasim of Aleinu. So that Nashim, Shnoi Kabbatas Tefillin Nicha Betikin Be'esam Yis Kaddish LeYofahein Esam. Says that people who rope the Tefillin batsim, ideally you should keep my Tefillin till after Aleinu. If that's not going to work out, because whatever the story is, why it's not going to work out. So Mr. Bray says, you're not allowed to roll up your tefillin during Kaddish. It's during the Zman of Kaddish. You're not allowed to roll up your tefillin and your talis. Is that which people do it? Right? So that's not a correct minute. Again, you shouldn't do it. It's something which a lot of people are on limit on. That Mr. Bray says, rolling it up, that's going to be it. Supposed to do after Kaddish. After Kaddish, then that's the time you're supposed to do it. I forget mentioned about Halacha. When you break a bracha, Shehash Sharaish. After Sharaish, you say Baruch Shem Kivay Machzil on that. Why do we say Baruch Shem? So Halacha is saying, "Makes a bracha v'tali." You say Baruch Shem Kivay Machzil on that. That's it's like a tikkun hazah. Therefore, being that the Eros are some shittas, not supposed to make a bracha on the Sharesh. So, because of that, we have this shara that we say, the bracha, we say bracha. Now, it doesn't mean that's really a bracha batala, because we don't make suffolk bracha, but that called the class suffolk bracha huckle, and we would not go ahead and make a bracha and just say bracha and kremach, so on that. It just means like the rafka, the milsa, being that there is a tzad, mechabros don't make a bracha on it, we all make it, then you can make a bracha. Therefore, the minhag gets to say bracha and kavod, machusai, the ayalam, the head. There's also a minhag not to make a bracha sharesh out loud, being that a lot of people don't make a bracha on it, so we don't make the bracha out loud, so people shouldn't have a shout answering amen. Therefore, there's a minhag not to make a bracha out loud. Avad, if a person does make the bracha out loud, avad, you would yes answer amen. Now, Rav Moshe finds that as a shiloh, when you're putting on the shayat, so you cover the shayat. So are you allowed to do that between the shayat and the shayat? Is that considered something which would be mafsik or not? Say if we're not saying mafsik in anything, so do we say this is like the zayrach, therefore maybe it's not considered mafsik, or this is something that one should not be doing? So Rav Moshe writes in Tshuva that it's something which you should not do. You should not cover it. You should put in the shayat. And then after the Shoresh, and afterwards you should go cover it. Covering in between, that would be also considered a hafsik, it's not the correct thing.
Covering
it over with your shirt. Yeah, you should first put on the Shoresh, then and afterwards you should put it on. Now you have to be careful when you're putting on your tefillin in terms of touching your arm. The luck is you touch the makam mechusa, the luck is that you have to go ahead and wash your hands. So if you're putting on the tefillin and you're touching your arm, a lot of people say, that's going to be a problem. You have to go wash your hands. It'll be a problem in terms of making the bracha of the shoresh. Now, when you say touching your arm, the luck is if you touch your ear, which is covered normally, it's a makim zeh, you have to go ahead and wash your hands. What's considered a makim, which you say is covered? So, Mishpura writes from the elbow up, we say that's the area which is covered. From the elbow down, we're in Nayaga, that's not the area which is covered. Therefore, therefore, you should go in and not touch. There's a limud schus that some say that at the bizman, when you bring out tefillin, that's a time which a person always uncovers it. So maybe look at it, a makom gully, bizman to add some tefillin, and therefore it would not be considered a problem. Like I said before, ideally, one should really. Ideally, one should really try not to touch it, but the effort, if you touch it, just go like that, and you can be mamshuk, and who not big sin. And what? No, because I'll be considered, weiter, weak sin, let's say, and therefore, that would not be considered a problem.